Thank you, Freddy. Thanks, everyone. Can you hear me good in the back? All right, perfect. Good, yeah, I'm stepping in, giving a talk about passkeys, so we can lay the foundation for the second passkey talk directly afterwards by my colleague, and also to share a bit our insights about how to integrate passkeys into your applications, what are different strategies, how to decide which solution is the best for you. So I will hope to cover all of that in 25 minutes. So let's go into it. I'm Clemens. That's all you need to know right now. Let's dive in. So when we talk about authentication, most of you will picture something like this in your head, I guess. So email field or a username field and a password field, that's how we do authentication nowadays still, I would say. And passwords, I do not have to tell you that they are difficult for the users, they are difficult for us. So you can do a lot of different things wrong with passkeys. You can choose weak passwords, you can choose very weak passwords, you can handle them wrong, like putting them into websites that they are not belonging or where you should not post them to. And passwords are getting reused all the time. And of course, for each of these mistakes, attackers came up with attacks. So weak passwords can be brute forced. So we're trying out all passwords for a user. If you do not want to target a specific user, but just want to open all the accounts with the very weak passwords, then there's something like password spraying, where you just try the 100, 1,000, 10,000, whatever weakest passwords out there, like password 123, for all kind of users you can get a grip on, and just see what account opens up or not. For the problem that users put their passwords where they do not belong, there's of course phishing attacks, so tricking users into telling you the password or entering them in the password in a web page that is not actually the web page they are thinking. And of course, passwords are reused, so if we get one known credential pair, we can do something like credential stuffing, try this exact same pair on another website, and see if the user was lazy and reuse their password there. So, passwords are bad. I think we can all agree on them, and that's why we want to shift away from things users have to remember, so things you need to keep in your brain, to other authentication methods. You may know this famous three kinds of authentication factors. Something you know, like passwords, something you have, like possession-based, for example, like a hardware token, like the solo key, or a chip card, or something like that, and then, of course, factors that are based on you as a person, biometric factors, something you are. So these are the three typical kinds of authentication factors, or as someone liked to put it, something you forget, something you lose, something that is chopped off. So of course, also the other options are not perfect. Each kind of factors has their flaws, but going away from knowledge-based authentication factors is a good idea, and we want to do this in the web in an easy way, and that's where passkeys come in. So passkeys are the solution that we can use in our web applications, authentication factors that are no longer based on knowledge, but are based on possession or on biometrics, and we want to use them in a public key crypto array that we do not have to send the actual secret across the wire, but we do some kind of challenge response. So even if someone is eavesdropping or is getting a hold on what is stored on the server side, they are not getting an actually secret leaked. And we want some strong scoping of this credentials to the site we are authenticating for, so that we can prevent phishing, because one credential is just valid for this exact site and cannot be entered somewhere else. So this is all what passkeys try to solve. And some of you might heard about the thing that was there before passkeys, like WebAuthn. I gave a talk about that at an OWASP day, I think, 3 years ago. So that's basically the same. So if you're not really knowing what the difference is, we will come to that later. But basically, passkeys is just a new marketing for WebAuthn. So if you used to know this and you think that sounds familiar, then this is the reason why. So let's have a short overview how this works technically. So we have this very simplified architecture, and we have some kind of, let's see if I get my laser pointer here. So we have our web app that is running somehow in a browser, on a platform, on some kind of device, and it's communicating with a server. In WebAuthn, this is called a relying party, so that's where we want to authenticate against, and we want to do this using some authenticators that can be some external authenticators, like some possession-based things, but this can also be authenticators that are provided by the platform, for example, provided by our iPhone with Touch ID, with Face ID, or are provided by our computer with Windows Hello and Fingerprint and whatever. So this is the range. And WebAuthn is now specifying how this left part especially is working. So what is the standard that is used here? Or to be more precise, how is this communication happening? What can a web application do, or what does a web application have to do to use these authenticators that are of different kind, on different platforms, on different devices, in a standardized way to use them to authenticate securely in the web? So that's the idea here. The WebAuthn standard basically defines two processes. They call it ceremonies. That's the registration ceremony. So that's when you want to register a new user, then they need to create some kind of private key public key pair. The private key remains on the authenticator. The public key is then stored on the relying party side, and that's then the identifier for identifying them later. And then there's the other ceremony, the authentication ceremony. That's where the user proves that they are still in possession of this private key, and they are using it to authenticate to the relying party. So that's basically what WebAuthn specifies and what is used then for passkeys as well. So let's have a short look at a demo, because demos are always fun if you're short of time. So I have a small demo application. We have a simple login here, and you might see, oh, this login looks different to the login that we know. There is no password field because it's a passwordless authentication, but first we have to register. So I just need to enter a username, and then I enter some private data, so we know that the application recognizes us later again. So now when we click on register, a nice pop-up pops up with some QR code. We will not go into this. That's something that will be covered in the second part, how we could use a smartphone now using this QR code to authenticate. But we want now to use a hardware key. We pop it in. We need to use the PIN I've set. And then we have to tap it once, and luckily it was successful. Sorry for the German demo, but you will be able to get it, I guess. So now we can log in again. We still need our PIN. I touch my token again, and we see it greets me, so it recognizes me, I'm authenticated here. So that's how Web of N works for the user, how it feels in the browser. All right, so let's see how this works under the hood a bit. So you remember we have this, let's see if this fixes, all right. So we have this communication between the relying party and the application, and what happens there when we register, when we are using this register ceremony, is the client, the web app says, hey, I have this new user, Clemens Hübner, he wants to register. Then the server responds, yeah, I need a public key for this user. The server can provide some specification how this key should be created, and this specification is then put in a JavaScript API that is provided by the browser. That's actually the Web of N API. And from there, the browser takes over, looks what authenticators do we have, communicates with them, creates the key pair. That's nothing that has to be done in the web app, but the web app gets back the public key and gives this to the server, and they are happy with that. And it's similar for the authentication. I want to log in as Clemens Hübner. Then the server provides us with a challenge. We take this challenge, we give it into the other API that is provided by Web of N in the browser. And from there, the browser takes over again, looks, do we have a key for this website, then signs the challenge, gives it back, the server checks it, and authenticates it. So that's what Web of N is doing, and that's what we need to do when we want to build in pass keys in our own application. So let's skip a little bit the timeline and also where it is supported. Spoiler, every major browser supports it. Let's have a look at passkeys for a second. So passkeys is the next step, bringing Web of N to a broader audience. And basically, passkeys are Web of N credentials plus some additional usability, I would say. So with passkeys, the Web of N credentials are now better integrated in the clients, and they are synced across the clients. So that was a big usability issue with Web of N. Most of the users do not have a token. They want to use it across devices. So that's what Web of N, that's what passkeys is now doing. It's integrated and it's synced across the different devices. We also have this cross-device usage of passkeys, so we can use this QR code flow I just mentioned. So if we have a passkey on one device and we want to log in on the other device, we can scan the QR code, and in the background, the authentication is happening. The next talk will go into that in detail. And that's what comes additionally, basically, with passkeys. And that's why a lot of different companies are now implementing passkeys. And I think you should do as well. So now we're coming to the part, how can we integrate passkeys in our own application? And I have tried to break this down into five steps. So basically, you need to extend your user entities. You're not storing a password hash with your users anymore, but you now store a set of passkeys with them. You need a plan to enroll your existing users, detect if someone logs in, give them the option to create a new passkey credential, and then later remove the passwords. And you can do this in parallel, allow the registration of new users using passwordless login. Then you are good to go, and you also have to implement the management of the passkey credentials in the backend. So users should be able to see what passkeys have I created, want to delete them, change them. So that's what is done, what has to be done there. Okay, so how can we integrate this in our platform? Basically, there are different options how you can implement this. You can build it yourself. There are plenty of libraries for different languages, for different frameworks. You can integrate it into your existing authentication, into your existing session management. Or you can use some passkeys as a service providers. There are multiple out there that do the management of the passkeys and the checks and everything for you. You can either call them via API, so you keep the control over the front end yourself and just communicate by their API, or most of them also provide some web components you can just integrate into your application, so then you can do some theming, but you're very starting very fast with that. A colleague of mine did some comparing there. He wrote a blog post about this. I will link this later, so you can have a look at this in detail. Basically, we tried out the different options with the same use case, implemented it in the different ways. So basically, with the library, you're the most flexible, but it's basically for free at the first glance. But you need to know what you're doing, you need to manage it yourself, but it's highly flexible. With the passkey as a service providers, you buy some management there, and you extend your, or you outsource your authentication and session management there to some extent, so that's something you need to consider. So, we have a small, simple decision tree, what might be the best solution for you. So if you are low on budget or are very happy with building everything yourself, or you're sourcing out this data to an external entity is not an option for you, then you're stuck with the library. I see I translated this with AI just 5 minutes ago, and not everything is translated properly, but you get the get the gist. If you want to outsource it, then the API is more flexible. You can integrate it more flexible into your application, and the web component is the easiest way for a new application if you like to start there. All right, so that's in a very short summary of the different options of how to integrate passkeys. But of course, I thought about another important step, step number 6. You need to guide your users. So passkeys are getting more and more common, and I'm sure many of you have tried them out for your own accounts already. But you still need to educate your users how to use them. Passwords are insecure, but they are very widely understood, and passkeys are not so much. So that's something you need to consider there. So that's it in the short amount of time I have for you. There are often a lot of questions about passkeys and also some controversial opinions. So I brought 3 myself today, so we can discuss them later at lunch. I'm happy about them with you. So many people say, oh, I like to control with my YubiKey and do not want to sync them anyhow. That's perfectly fine. I feel that the same way, but passkeys are really an option to improve authentication for the masses, for the 95% that are not using a password manager already, or that are not used to any hardware keys. So really, really need to think about them when talking about passkeys. I think passkeys are a big step to improve your authentication. So if you're thinking about implementing multi-factor authentication in the next weeks or months, skip this and go to passkeys, is my personal opinion. And a lot of different problems that arise with passkey. So what do I do if I lose my passkey, or how can I make sure that the passkey is not used by someone else, or what are fallback mechanisms, and so this is all process problems. We have them with passwords as well. We have them with all authentication methods. So it's important to think about them, but it's not a problem of the technology itself. So that's it from me. Vielen Dank. And I'm happy to answer maybe one question. Thank you.
All right, who's the first one with a question? Okay, one question here.
While Freddy's running, here's the blog post I mentioned, so if you want to read about it in more than 20 minutes, go ahead. Please.
What do you miss at passkeys?
Sorry, again?
What do you miss at passkeys?
Not sorry if I...
Yeah, what do you miss? What would you expect? What should be also added to passkeys?
The acoustic is very hard, sorry.
Okay. What do you miss with the concept of passkeys?
What I miss... now I get it. What do I miss? Passkeys are basically a technical concept and an API in the first place, and all this education and bringing users towards it. That's happening a lot in the last 2 years, I guess, but that's something that's still ongoing and what is, I think, the biggest problem why it's not moving faster. Yeah. Thank you.
One more question.
So, does this still, it still works. Very good. So one of our common use cases in our family is that we have shared passwords. So for example, for eBay Kleinanzeigen, we have the same account because it's also the same budget. Can you do something like this with passkeys?
Yes, so it's best practice for passkeys that you allow users to register more than one passkey, because back in the days they would be bound to one device, and if you would have more devices then you want to register more passkeys. So it's usually a one-to-n, so it's basically getting easier because everyone can register their own passkey. You do not have to share them insecurely. So for this special use case, it might get easier. Yeah. All right.
All right, that's it. Huge thank you to Clemens for stepping in.
Thank you.